Welcome to Comic Soup. My name is Dave Penny, and I'll be your host for the next little while as we discuss topics on comic-related news and comics entirely. Today, I am joined by William Key and Jared Crispin.
Hello.
Hi.
All right, so you know what? A lot of news have been brought out in the past couple of weeks since our last episode. A lot having to do with Marvel, actually. Marvel is really starting to seem to get into their next phase of their comic book movie series. Definitely one of the first ones that I'll definitely mention here, while everybody has actually known this was coming for a while, Vin Diesel is confirmed to be playing Groot for Guardians of the Galaxy's. Thoughts, gentlemen?
A good choice. Vin Diesel is a pretty jacked guy, you know.
He only has to say one line, so...
I am Groot!
There you go.
But is it like just one line for the whole movie, or just he'll just say that one line and he'll keep repeating it so that like he'll let people know that he's Groot?
No. What I think they're probably going to do is just going to be, it's going to be the same sentence, but it's going to be like different ways of saying, I am Groot.
I am Groot.
I am Groot.
I think it'll be interesting. And I think because, you know, Groot in the comics, I hear he's supposed to be like good buddies with Rocket Raccoon, right?
Yeah, he is.
I think him and Bradley Cooper are going to have a good relationship. I'm really excited to see those two, and just to see. I want to see the CGI. I really hope the CGI is like Cooper's really good.
Who?
He's going to be Rocket Raccoon.
No way.
Yeah.
Do you know who Rocket Raccoon is?
No.
Rocket Raccoon is basically an alien in the Guardians of the Galaxy team who looks exactly like a raccoon because his species looks like a raccoon, except he uses dual-wield, like, pistols or something.
And Bradley Cooper is playing that.
Yeah, but anyways,
supposed to be putting on some sort of an accent.
Here's a picture of Vin Diesel beside the what looks like a sculpture of what Groot's going to look like in the film. He looks really, really like him.
Like without the nose.
Yeah, without the nose.
They look like best friends. Like, they've, like, known each other for years. It's like some sort of reunion.
I love the hairdo, too.
Yeah.
It's going to be nice.
They should put, like, a bird's nest in there or something.
I wonder how tall he's going to be. Because they say he's supposed to be, he's as tall as a tree, right?
Well, Groot is huge. Like, if he can fight the Hulk, I think.
Where did he come from?
He came from space. Because, like everybody.
Like a space tree planet.
Space tree planet.
Space? No. He came from tree planet.
Tree planet.
Happy tree friends.
So he came from a universe of homicidal animals and suicidal animals, huh?
Alien trees.
That is possible.
It is very possible, especially with being such a large and...
I think Vin Diesel has the voice for it, too.
Oh, yeah.
Oh, yeah, he's definitely got... You know, actually,
his normal voice. His voice from Riddick is pretty much...
Yeah, and I didn't notice, but do you guys remember the movie The Iron Giant?
Oh, yeah.
He voiced the Iron Giant.
Are you serious?
Yeah.
I did not know
so he's
that.
Got he does he's, have the track record to back this up.
He does have that kind of low, booming voice that could be used for a larger character that I definitely think that they did make a good selection with making Vin Diesel Groot.
But you did hear that Vin Diesel still was offered another role for a different
film. Yeah, I heard that it was Vision was the other role, which I think
which is one of the actually that was the rumored character he was supposed to be before he was offered Groot. But they also said there's been rumors going around about the Inhumans and him possibly playing Black Bolt, who's like the leader of the Inhumans. That would be late, like far down the line, like 2018, because like Guardians of the Galaxy is a standalone series.
Yeah.
Sure, it'll probably cross over into the Marvel Cinematic Universe and the Avengers at some point if they go to space, right? So, who the hell knows?
Well, I had a really good thought. The thing is that I'm glad that Vin Diesel's getting, like, all these roles, but from what it sounds like, if they're giving him too many roles, like, you know, I'm not saying it's a bad thing. Like, I mean, Groot only says one line the same line for the entirety of the movie. So you can kind of expect that they're going to try to give him a role that gives him kind of more of a more involved role. I mean, Groot is involved physically, but I mean like more long dialogue wise.
Is this movie going to be funny at all how they do like Iron Man?
It's
kind of
one of their character, one of the team members is a freaking alien raccoon.
So I mean, like, at first, like, people who don't know about Guardians and then they see a raccoon talking and be like, you know, that's kind of funny.
Am I on like LSD or something right now?
Yeah, it's like you got Chris Pratt, then you got a talking raccoon. Like,
Why yeah, did I Chris sign... Pratt's gonna play Star
Why
Lord.
Did I sign up for this movie?
Anyways, but yeah, that was one of the larger. You got something?
No, I was just gonna say, like, I don't know if you were concluding the discussion on that, but I was just gonna say I'm Guardians is one of those movies I'm just really excited for 2014, yeah. as are most of the other Marvel movies coming out, because it's gonna be shaping up to be a good year for comic book movies.
Oh, of course.
And we talked about this already. Like,
yeah, we actually have like more news actually coming up on actually other big news for Marvel and DC. Speaking of Marvel, though, sticking with Marvel, it was actually confirmed that Paul Rudd. I don't know why, but I kept on thinking that it was Paul Rudd for the longest time. But Paul Rudd has been confirmed that he will be playing Ant-Man. Honestly, in my opinion, it'll only depend on which of the Ant-Mans that they pick. Because I think, Will, you mentioned that there's two of them.
Yeah, there was the Hank Pym and there was Scott Lang, I believe, one of those two. I would like it if they would go for Hank Pym because, I mean, I think he's a little more well-known. When you first, well, when you first hear the name Hank Pym, you think Ant-Man, you think Wonder Jacket or Yellow Jacket.
Whatever. Yeah, it's Yellow Jacket.
It's got multitude of names, but like, yeah, that's he's kind of the more popular one. I think Scott Lang's like a follow-up, right? He's not the original. They could do either route, though.
Plus, Hank Pym was the one who helped make Ultron. If I remember, somebody mentioned.
Yeah, that was like in the comics. That was the origin of Ultron.
So for all we know, is that Paul Rudd might make some sort of cameo appearance in Avengers 2.
Maybe like a post credit scene or something. That'd be. I don't know if he'd be.
It's
in
not that
the movie.
Big time of a post credit.
Yeah, Ant-Man isn't that big of a superhero to do that sort of thing. I feel like they'd sort of like. They kind of because they sort of did the same thing with Hawkeye in Thor in the first Thor film. Like they kind of hinted.
Small role,
yeah,
right?
they gave him like a small little hint, like that part where he's in like the nester, like the whatever it was, pulling the bow and then firing it. I think they'll do something more little subtle like that. If not, maybe just like for like a 2-minute scene, you see Hank Pym come in at some point, and they start him and Tony Stark are talking about Ultron, and then
like
he goes
science and things.
Yeah, science and things.
I like science.
I like science.
I like science. I like making
screw
robots.
You, screw just... you, Bruce Banner. I've got Hank Pym over here. He's just more fun to talk to.
My Hank Pym doesn't actually get angry and then destroy half the laboratory when he.
Now, Jared, I remember on the other podcast you were saying that you thought Paul Rudd looked kind of stupid or goofy.
Yeah. Well, you know, I've never seen Ant-Man. I've never heard of Ant-Man before.
Seriously?
You sold me a picture of him, like, last...
Dude, he's...
The only thing is, I saw the costume, and I was like, okay, well, you'll only be able to see his mouth. So I guess he won't look as silly as he would. I don't even know what Ant-Man's power is.
Ant-Man has the ability to control insects. He has the ability to change size.
He can grow
size.
And shrink his size. Yeah, so okay. You can be,
and
like, large and small. Yeah, that would help, right? I mean, like, it's one thing to control bugs, but you got to be able to fight.
Yeah.
It's like a mad scientist gone wrong, but towards
no,
the
better
he's
side. Like, in the comic books, he has, like, close relations with, like, Tony Stark, Mr. Fantastic, and all those guys.
All the nerds.
All the basically the science geeks.
Yeah.
In the Marvel Universe. But definitely, I think, like, if they're going to kind of go, because I never really read the Ant-Man books. I don't really... The only forms of Ant-Man I've ever seen were in, like, the cartoons and whatnot. But he seemed like more of a serious sort of character in some aspects. And there were moments where he did have his funny moments. But, I mean, like, for... Like, unless they were kind of expecting to give Paul Rudd more of a comical role with Hank Pym character, I don't know if it's really going to work for him.
I remember, like... Maybe like 5 years ago when I first heard, there was rumors about Ant-Man back then.
Yeah,
I remember, and this is way before I had played Ultimate Alliance, Ultimate Alliance 2 when they featured Yellow Jacket for the first time, and I had never heard of Ant-Man. And I was like, is this some sort of like, I don't know, like a knockoff of regular superheroes? Are they just like making fun of it? I didn't even think it was a real superhero until I looked it up, and I was like, oh wow, okay, this is they actually treat him as a legit superhero. He was created by Marvel Comics. And so now, fast forward to now, and you got Edgar Wright signed on, you got Paul Rudd. It's like, okay, I guess maybe maybe they do feel that there is potential for him to be comedic, yet they can bring him into this somewhat serious world. I mean, there's still comedic undertones.
Yeah, I mean, like, with the right? Iron Man franchise, of course, there's... Excuse me. Of course, there's been comedic undertones, whatever.
Tons.
Well, and not only that, but Thor as well. I think the fact that Thor's...
Captain America and Hulk.
They all bring their own thing. The thing with Thor's dynamic with the rest of the team is that, like, he's just completely
lost.
Lost.
Exactly.
Yeah, and I mean... They're all completely lost.
Yeah.
If you think
sometimes
about
Captain America
is Cap's like from the 40s, right? So it's like, what is technology? Like, what is this stuff? And then you got Thor, and he's just like, I'm the son of Odin.
I'm a god.
They actually have sort of a nod towards everybody's kind of own personality thing at the end of the Avengers post credits.
Is that the shawarma scene?
Yeah, they're all at the shawarma place, and they're all just sitting at like a table. All, like, the normal human characters are just sitting around the table, really tired and everything. Captain America's kind of eating his shawarma, sort of shawarma. And then you just see Thor just literally just grabbing shawarmas and just munching hard on them while everybody else around him is just tired.
This is delightful.
You know,
bring me another.
Somehow how we turned into a shawarma discussion. I've never had a shawarma, but...
What?
We'll
have to go to Streetsville for that.
Yeah, maybe one day I'll have one it.
Osmos.
But yeah, so you know, I've got no expectations for Ant-Man because like I'm just setting the bar here. You know,
same. I don't have expectations only because I don't know.
He is on the Avengers team.
Mm-hmm.
So
I don't think people really have any expectations about Ant-Man going into this unless they're somehow big like knew about Ant-Man before any of the other major superheroes.
That's the one thing that I do like about the fact that they're starting to go towards more. Not less popular superheroes. Because then you can't really have high expectations with like less popular superheroes because like there's so many different like versions of them, or there's just so many different ways that they could go by utilizing them throughout the movie franchise that they're not really important enough that they have to keep to the actual storyline of like the comic books or the comic books. That they can kind of modify it, and you kind of won't really care because you're not like Iron Man or Spider-Man or Hulk.
Yeah,
or one of the major characters.
Everyone knows the origin of Superman. Everyone knows the origin of Batman. Everyone knows the origin of Spider-Man. Like, it's been overdone several times.
Yeah.
Like, for someone like the Guardians, for someone like
Ant-Man,
you know, you've got the chance to do what you want with it because, I mean, sure, you're going to have to make reference to the comics for sure. I mean, you can't forget about it because that's where they started, but you have the chance to make it something fresh, like a fresh take for the movies that would entice fans to go back to the comics and read more about it
if they
actually enjoy these characters. And so that's why I feel like, you know, I am excited because of all the news I'm hearing about Guardians. And like Ant-Man, the bar is set in the middle for me. It can go up or down, but I'm not setting it at as high of a bar as when I remember Amazing Spider-Man first announced. Because, you know, when Spider-Man 3 came out, I was let down and they canceled the series. And then Amazing Spider-Man, I was up here. I was expecting a lot from the series. So that kind of goes
back to my point about less popular characters, people caring less about how they turn out because that they're not as iconic or as mandatory to follow the certain guidelines that the hero set in the book because they're not really that popular and not many people like already read them. So you kind of have the chance to freeform their origin story and sort of thing. That sort of thing.
Is right. Ant-Man gonna have his own movie?
Yeah.
Okay, so if you saying how you know how we
makes
were talking
wonder.
About what?
Makes me wonder now that I actually think about it. Just before yeah, actually no wait, finish your thought first, because this kinda has to do with something else.
How you know, Iron Man had his big movie, Thor had his big movie, Spider-Man, whatnot. Do you think, since not a lot of people know like the origin of Ant-Man, that this movie will be a disappointment?
No.
You think?
I think it's more along the lines of opening people to a new idea, I guess you can say. Because we've all heard the old guy builds a suit, guy uses technology, guy uses some form of like gamma science or mutation to get his superpowers. Mm-hmm. This is something that's kind of unique out of that idea that doesn't have to do really much with as much as magic or mutations or gamma radiation or armored suits. This is about a guy who literally just found his powers with bugs and utilizes that.
I'm also thinking too about like a lot of the graphic novels more recently that have been turned into films. Like I know Red was a graphic novel. I believe The Losers was a graphic novel. Mm-hmm. Watchmen, mm-hmm. Sin City, I believe, was a graphic novel. I don't know how popular those graphic novels were before they became films.
Yeah, they weren't like huge.
I know Watchmen was pretty big.
Yeah, Watchmen though was pretty big. Other than
that, yeah,
Sin City, I don't know.
So I like exactly like for those films, they looked interesting, especially Sin City. I like the style of Sin City. I've never seen it. I feel bad for saying that. I feel like I should.
Good style movie.
It's an okay movie.
It's all for the style, violent. Right? Yeah. Like it's. Yeah, it's an art film, I feel like.
Willis, but my boy.
Yeah, like those films, like kind of similar to the case of Ant-Man and Guardians, who are more central comic-like characters, more popular to like family people, I guess. You know, there was no expectations going into it unless you came across it in a comic store before you ended up like hearing that it was going to be turned into a film.
And you got really into it.
Yeah.
Anyhow, now that we've kind of covered Marvel movie news, I feel like we should kind of take at least a single topic break from Marvel, because we actually have quite a bit to discuss with Marvel based comic books today.
Fine, if you really want to.
Whoa. I kind of gotta give some love to other comic books in series, because I don't want to seem like some super Marvel fanboy, although I really am. So biggest surprising news out of all the topics I have here, that kind of when Will told me the other day, I kind of got blindsided just by how random the selection was.
It's still a rumor though, so I don't if that's the one.
It's only rumor. It's not confirmation.
It's just out of the blue.
Denzel Washington playing as the next Green Lantern for the Batman versus Superman movie,
which is pretty sick.
Which is
that choice.
It's cool. They want to add in the Green Lantern. I think that's an okay move. But Denzel Washington, though.
In the cartoon, he was black. Yeah. And in the movie Green Lantern, he was white.
That was the original Green Lantern, though.
Yes. But anyways, right when you told me, when we were in Chris's car, you told me that, you know, Denzel Washington is going to be Green Lantern. Right when you said that, I tried to imagine him in the costume. And I could fully see him only because I saw the cartoon. And he, you know, the guy was black, and which is sick how they used Denzel Washington. Now, you would rather have Denzel Washington than, say, Samuel L. Jackson, because Samuel L. Jackson's already taken.
Mm-hmm. And so, Samuel L. Jackson is a very, like, his acting performance is very, can be very over the top sometimes.
Yeah, way over the top.
I think Denzel Washington would kill it as Green Lantern. So I really feel like, you know, if, say they decide, okay, like, this may be a rumor right now, because this Denzel Washington as Green Lantern is tied to the current Batman versus Superman thing. So that's already a clusterfuck in itself, because I mean we talked about the fact that they cast Wonder Woman already in the last podcast. So the fact that there's rumors circling around Green Lantern, in the past they've had rumors circling around adding Flash and Nightwing and Lex Luthor, which Lex Luthor might be a likely foe they could face. Doomsday as well was the other one we discussed. I mean, that's a lot for just a Batman versus Superman film.
Batman versus Superman is already
a lot. Well, how about we just scrap Ryan Reynolds? We'll add Denzel Washington in his own solo Green Lantern film or something.
That would be good. That would be awesome.
I feel like if they start introducing, like, I don't mind if they introduce one or two other superheroes as like small cameos into these films. But I mean, like, if they start introducing different superheroes too quickly, and like, it would kind of feel like they're just trying to force the other superheroes onto us and push it out too quickly to try to match up with what Marvel's has. Because Marvel's had years, and I mean literally years, to prepare for all this. But DC hasn't really made much moves towards making actual silver screen films for their comics. So I feel like they're just trying to bundle up too many of their superheroes into one, that it might just end up becoming one confusing mess.
It's taking a shortcut.
Yeah, it's taking an unnecessary shortcut.
Saving money.
So what about this? set up Denzel for a Green Lantern solo film. Why not make it the sequel to Green Lantern and just drop Ryan Reynolds, have Denzel somehow pick up the powers, and then there you go, you got Denzel being Green Lantern. Well, and then it's like, I don't know. I mean, you don't have to reboot the series because you already set up the origin story for Green Lantern and the powers itself. Just have Denzel face Sinestro or something like that. Sinestro was set up at the end of Green Lantern 1.
Yeah.
And going into Green Lantern, I saw Sinestro and I saw he was a Green Lantern and I was like, what the fuck? Like, because I remember him, you know, in yellow. I was like, why is he green? I guess that's because I didn't do enough research and I didn't realize that he had taken a ring of fear or something.
I'm going to look this up right now to find the character from those Justice League show, the Justice League cartoon.
Which one? The guy who played Green Lantern?
All of them. They both had the character. I swear his name starts with J. It's John.
John Stewart.
John Stewart. That's it.
That was the one that they mentioned in the article, I believe.
Yeah, that would be the one that he'd end up playing because he, I think John Stewart was the second ever human Green Lantern to ever join the Corps.
Yeah, so why not? I mean, what would be wrong with doing a follow-up Green Lantern movie where he becomes the new Green Lantern?
Yeah, they could. That's literally how they could do it.
And then we can just drop Ryan Reynolds off the face of the earth.
They don't have to drop Ryan Reynolds. Like, they don't have to drop him entirely. He can still have parts, because Hal Jordan still has, like, his parts and roles to play.
Right, but he doesn't have to be in he doesn't have to overshadow Denzel Washington as he's coming.
We can all just come to the point, he's gotten past that I'm a noob at this Green Lantern thing sort of stage. He defeated that giant planet-killing alien thing. So maybe now just move away from Hal Jordan, give another person the spotlight. Because, I mean, the Green Lantern core isn't just about one person. It's about
the Green Lantern core.
Yeah, it's about the entirety. So it wouldn't surprise me if they...
Registered trademark, LTD. Like,
I think Denzel Washington would be an excellent character for Green Lantern because I'm looking back at when you played like the movie Unstoppable. I don't know if you guys seen that movie.
No.
The train movie.
The train one.
And Remember the Titans, you guys obviously.
Oh, yeah, Remember the Titans.
See, the way that he acts.
And Man on Fire, if you've seen that one.
Yeah, and that one too.
And Two Guns.
Two Guns. Seeing Denzel Washington play a superhero movie would just probably be one of my favorite movies.
I've seen a lot of Denzel Washington movies.
Now that I've actually thought about it, I've seen quite a few. We were actually watching Remember the Titans the other day.
He's one of my favorite actors.
I don't want to say he's like, but he's definitely inspirational.
Yeah.
Like in his roles that you can sort of.
He's always the guy that tells people his own fortunes and own advice and whatnot.
Are you worried that he may be too old for the role?
No, not at all. Like, I don't think really age has anything.
Because he's older than Ben Affleck.
How old is Ben Affleck?
44, I believe.
Oh, no. But it shouldn't matter. I mean, like,
Denzel's got to be at least close to 50.
If Harrison Ford can do the fifth Indiana Jones film, if Arnold Schwarzenegger can still be doing movies, so if so can Sylvester and Stallone, I think Denzel Washington can make it.
Right. Okay. Yeah. Just wanted to.
But I'm excited.
Throw that question out there.
This rumor is true.
I do think that he could do it. He can pull it off. I hope that. Like, I mean, I do have my doubts, but, like, after you explained that we've seen so many movies, inspirational movies, and good movies with Denzel Washington, that kind of negative ideas towards him are kind of dissipating.
Every single movie that he was in has been good.
Mm-hmm.
That I've watched. I haven't seen a movie he actually sucked in.
Even Two Guns, like, I remember seeing that over the summer. Yeah, like, he was with, Mark Wahlberg.
Yeah.
No, they were both fine in that movie. I mean, Mark Wahlberg, I don't know about him as an actor in general, but like,
he's a funny guy.
Yeah, he could be. Yeah, Wahlberg's. He's funny. Yeah, but like, what was it? Pain and Gain? Was that the other one? Did you guys see
with
that?
Dwayne the Rock Johnson?
Yeah, I thought he was fine, and I liked him in Pain and Gain. But we're not talking about Wahlberg.
Yeah, we're talking about Denzel, motherfucking Washington.
No, Denzel's great. Like, he's got years of experience behind him. A lot more than Ryan Reynolds.
Oh, a lot.
And like we were talking about on one of the podcasts, I can't remember. Carter said that, the case of Ryan Reynolds, it's not Ryan Reynolds. It's just, I guess, a lot of the writing behind what Ryan Reynolds is doing.
I think it's also the roles that they give him.
Yeah. He's he didn't get a good enough justice as Deadpool. I think he still has potential, like, to be a better Deadpool than he was as Green Lantern.
I wish they didn't make him like that.
Yeah, because in, like, the 5 minute scene where he was talking, and I thought, you know, there was some potential for humor with his character.
So there's definitely potential with Denzel Washington over Ryan Reynolds as a Green Lantern.
Agreed.
I really hope that they do take this somewhere, like. Although I don't think that they should really add any more into the...
Let's not overshadow the real Batman versus Superman.
Yeah, like I feel like they should kind of stop and think about just who they want to add. Batman
versus Superman. That's
Wonder Woman, Green Lantern. Small cameos, we're done. We're good.
Now back to Batman versus Superman.
Yeah, more apocalyptic fighting.
This is why I was asking you the other day, who started the Justice League?
Batman, Superman and Batman.
Okay, but was that like... Was it Batman? Because I could believe it if it was Batman who started Justice League, because maybe he's recruiting superheroes. Comes across Superman. Superman's kind of still dicky. Batman beats him to a pulp, and then Superman's like, okay, fine.
Let me explain it to you in a short form of what I know from the cartoons that I used to watch long ago. Bruce Wayne builds a sat. Sorry.
Don't have
Bruce Wayne builds a satellite. Satellite meets Batman. Meets Superman. They start hating one another, all because of a girl. Then they end up at some point liking one another for some reason, I don't remember why. Women. And they start teaming up together, and then they start getting all the introductions to other superheroes and whatnot into a little click of super friends. And then at one point that satellite gets turned into the Justice Tower or whatever it's called. That's
the Tower of Justice. Form
of what I know anyways.
Okay. Oh, that's all I wanted to know, because, I mean, yeah, I feel like that would be an interesting story if it was Batman, you know, setting up the Justice League. I don't know why.
He has the money, too.
Because, well, that he's got the money for it, and he's got the potential for leadership.
He's like, right? I need people that are invulnerable.
And as we're seeing, you know, since this is still kind of slightly following Christopher Nolan's... universe they set up with Batman.
Every legendary movie is following up with the Christopher Nolan.
Right, we've got an aged Batman, right?
Yep.
So he has experience. Superman still is fresh, doesn't have a lot of experience. So in a way, I mean, though he does overpower Batman by a lot, he needs to learn to control his power. So I guess Batman would be somewhat of a mentor to him. That's why I figured, yeah, that Batman was doing that.
All right, well... It seems we're getting a little off topic here with Denzel Washington, but we've all said what we've had to have said about Tangents. Denzel Washington. Tangents. Denzel Washington, there is hope that he will do well if he is indeed to be the next Green Lantern. I hope that rumor is
true.
So we have that is literally our only other topic that is not Marvel today, which is actually surprising considering that there's actually a lot more other news. But we're dealing with the most recent, but we are actually done with that news, so let's actually get into some discussions. We actually have two discussions today. Starting with, we will do a comic discussion about an actual older book that came out, I think, about a couple of years ago, maybe even a little more than that.
Y'all might have heard of it.
You all might have heard of it. It's one of the biggest events that ever happened in Marvel history. Ladies and gentlemen, of course, I am talking about Marvel's Civil War.
Civil War.
We don't have a camera, Jared.
We don't have a camera, but Jared's just presenting it.
We have the book here. Jared's been kind of skimming it.
One of my all-time favorite storylines of the Marvel Universe. It's definitely very unique compared to like all the other ones. This is like one of the first books I ever read that didn't have some sort of apocalyptic end-of-the-world scenario happening.
You know, when I saw this first, I went to the comic book store. I forget what it's called, Square One. Planet Hobby. I walked in there and I saw this book and I thought it was like really epic. Like the cover was amazing and I didn't know it was like Captain America versus Iron Man, because when you look at the cover it looks completely fine. But then I was skimming through it and I see Iron Man and Captain America fighting each other. I was like, this book looks amazing. Like the drawings.
And you want to know why they're fighting, right?
Yeah. I wasn't able to finish all of it, but I do know that all these friggin' Marvel superheroes are fighting each other. The decision that
he's reading the back of the book
will affect the nation's greatest champions.
It's a superhuman registration act. That is what the whole story is about.
They want everybody to unmask themselves.
Basically, for those who have not read Civil War, and I am going to spoil a bit of it for you, so please do...
Spoiler alert. Please provide some synopsis of this comic series.
I was just going to say, plug your ears and start screaming, but it's basically about after a major incident involving a TV crew, which was following a more amateur superhero crew, ended up fighting a bunch of big leagues, and one of the big league villains ended up exploding and killing, I think it was like 100 kids or something like that. So then the U.S. government decided that superhumans should be regulated so that they started asking that they unmask themselves before they officially consider themselves superhuman. Of course, half of the superhumans of the Marvel Universe are with it, which it's like Iron Man, Mr. Fantastic. And then there's the other half who is against it, who is Captain America and who's another great Goliath.
Luke Cage,
all those. The thing is, it kind of takes a step back from the usual end of the world scenario Marvel stories where, oh my god, if we don't stop this from happening, the world's either going to get turned into by a bunch of giant spiders, a bunch of robots, a bunch of zombies, a bunch of demons. And it deals more with a more national issue and government issue rather than, like I said, an end-of-the-world scenario that you see so many different Marvel comic books. And honestly, I kind of had a bit of relief when I first read it of the fact that it wasn't about it, because you feel it's less tense, less stressful. But that doesn't actually mean it is actually less stressful and intense, because, I mean, this, rather than having a superhero team taking on a major villain, it's a superhero team taking on another superhero team,
which is awesome.
I was going to ask you, when did they release Civil War?
I do not know. It should be on the back of the book, publishing date.
Yeah.
This might take a while.
It drove my curiosity, because I found that Civil War, in a way, is like art imitating life. And, you know, whenever the heck it came out, if it came out like...
Oh, you know.
It's definitely a post 9/11 story.
2012.
It's not 2012, it might have been re-released with a new
yeah, because that's cover that's like the that. That's the volume of it. It was a Marvel Comics crossover that went from 2006 to 2007.
It's so in a way, you know, comic book artists, you know, they try to echo real world issues in a lot of their art, you know, as a way of just tackling what's going on in the world through their own means. And so I feel, in a way, when I was reading up and doing some research on Civil War, that this was kind of echoing a lot of the overseas wars and stuff like that that's been going on in the past, you know, anything post 9/11, a lot of the issues we had to face at that point, and of course any, you know, disputes we've had between any countries that have probably been allies in the past.
Yeah.
So I thought, like, in a way, and this is how the comic book artists bring it back to a world that we love and admire. So, yeah, that's how we can somehow relate to all the bullshit that is going on in the world day in and day out. I don't know. That's, without reading the comics, that's what I kind of got that's what I got out of it. The way I was exposed to Civil War was through when I played Marvel Ultimate Alliance 2. That was the focal point of the entire game, which is pretty, like, I played both games. Ultimate Alliance 1 was more of the Masters of Evil storyline with Doctor Doom. That was fine, you know, an array of villains to face. When I came to Ultimate Alliance 2, I didn't know, I heard about Civil War, and then when I actually played it, I was blown away by the story, and it was just awesome, because it was like choices and things, and I like making choices, and
I like how loose canon the Marvel was with this book, especially at the beginning. You find out that, like, they literally kill 100 kids in this book, and you don't usually see that sort of level of violence. Like, I mean, in cases you do, like in the Venom series, you see Venom kill a bunch of adults, but you never in, like, at all ever hear of kids getting killed in a comic book. So this was definitely a sort of an eye-opening
darker book,
and I'm not even going to mention, because there's a couple superheroes, and I won't mention who actually die in this book, and you never hear that sort of thing. Like, you see it happen to the villains, you see it happen to the bad guys, but you never see it happen to the good guys, especially when the good guys are fighting one another.
What are the two factions in this? I know one of them is a superhero registration act.
One's pro-registration, the other's anti-registration. Pro-registration is Captain America. No, pro-registration is Iron Man, Mr. Fantastic. Anti-registration is Captain America, Goliath, okay. Hercules.
I think when I played the game, I went anti-registration.
I went pro-registration.
I don't know. I felt like when I heard about it, I was like, I don't think. Because, like, the whole pro-registration is what? The superheroes are aligned with the government, and they do what the government says, right?
Pro-registration people become actually hired by the government. They have to unmask themselves in front of the government.
Right. And I thought to myself, no, like, that's...
I'm not doing that.
Yeah, I'm not doing that. Like, why the hell would I do that? Like, superheroes are, you know, they're meant to keep their masks on.
I agree with that. The only reason I picked pro-registration was because I randomly picked...
Oh, okay. So you've just flipped a coin. You're like, what do I feel like doing today?
Well, I do feel that superheroes do need to keep their secret identities, because, I mean, like, once you tell somebody, that's a threat, especially when you look at it through the eyes of, like, Spider-Man or Captain America or Iron Man. Everybody already knows who Iron Man is. But, I mean, like, with Spider-Man and Captain America, who have enemies out there who are seriously dangerous and can seriously kill people.
And this was probably the risk they would have been taking, too, with being pro-registration, because, like, you know, you unmask these heroes, all their families and friends are now a threat because everyone knows who they are.
Yeah.
I mean, Captain America is the other hero besides Iron Man. People know who Captain America is, too, right?
Well, I'm not sure about the current Marvel Universe, but by when this was first done, nobody knew who that Steve Rogers was Captain America.
Really? Okay.
Well, besides the people that he worked with, like S.H.I.E.L.D. and Tony Stark and all those, the Avengers.
That's surprising. I honestly thought that everyone knew that Steve Rogers was Captain America.
The only people who I know of who are known in the Marvel Universe are the Fantastic Four and Tony Stark. That's literally all who I know is actually known as a superhero by the general public.
Okay.
But I like this story just because of how many superheroes it actually mashed together. Because this wasn't one of those Avengers versus Avengers thing. This was a full-on army versus army of superheroes battle.
Like, they don't even have... Like, there's some characters that don't even talk, but they're just in here.
They're fighting. There, yeah. Like, I just saw Daredevil just there.
I just saw Cloak and Dagger.
Yeah.
I still need to finish this.
They definitely
have... And Falcon. Falcon's there.
A lot of even lesser characters. Like, they have I think it's Namor, the guy's name is.
Namor.
The king
of the water.
Woman Hulk.
Woman Hulk, She-Hulk,
yeah. No, Hulk isn't in it. That's,
The Hulk's not in it.
She-Hulk.
Yeah, She-Hulk.
Well, She-Hulk is in it, and Hulkling is in it as well.
Yeah, I guess Hulk was asleep. Hulkling?
I guess you say baby Hulk.
That's hilarious.
Except he can, like, shapeshift and stuff.
It's like they have a bunch of characters everywhere. I don't even know who that is. I don't even know who this guy is.
Spider-Man was pro or anti?
Spider-Man was at first pro, and then he became anti at the end.
All right, good job on him. Yeah.
He
should have been anti the whole freaking time. I don't know why he... yeah.
He even masks himself in front of... And Joe... There's a scene that where Jameson sees it.
I wouldn't be surprised.
And he passes out. He faints because
they have BBC on
CNN.
Parker
was Spider-Man.
Yeah, that's really cool when they show the real life reporters and stuff like that.
Hilarious.
Oh man,
this is definitely a very informative book. You definitely can tell that this book is taking different angles from different arcs and stories from other comic books, and then later on in the book they'll actually make a nod to that, which is also really cool.
Yeah.
What are you looking at?
No, we're looking at this, one of the, I guess, chapter covers.
Yeah, they got some really
Spider-Man
cool chapter
friends.
Well, that's actually when he's, not the Crimson Spider, but the robotic, he gets the robotic suit from Tony Stark.
So I'm seeing what looks like Bullseye, Venom, Jack-O-Lantern, Green Goblin's there. Yeah.
Well, at one point in the book, they start using the supervillain. The U.S. government starts using supervillains to hunt down superheroes.
Are the nanites in this? Because I think they were in Ultimate Alliance too.
The nanites.
Yeah, there was some sort of nanite
story. Oh, it's the stuff that they put into the villains so that they can keep them good, and yeah. They actually have kill switches on the villains now.
Yeah, that was the thing that was that was in the game, because yeah, nanites were being injected into some superheroes, I believe, too.
Yeah, but that went a different story, completely different storyline after the Civil War and Marvel Ultimate Alliance.
Too. Yeah, because I think at some point they're just like, yeah, we settled our differences, and then it's like, oh wait, nanites.
Oh wait, nanites that's kind now of... consuming the entire world. Now it's an end of the world scenario again. But no, this never go. The Civil War, the actual book itself, never goes that far. It stays in the whole, oh, I think we should be unmasked. Oh, I don't want to be unmasked.
And this book manages to conclude the Civil War storyline as well. Like in this entire book here, it just it's what is it? 7 books in one.
It says one. It says here at the top. It's looks like 1 to 7. Self-titled 7-issue limited series.
This looks like Tony Stark here.
Yeah.
Yeah, apparently he's a good man. I see Maria Hill.
It's a 7-part story. Devious. So I would say maybe
Robert Downey Jr.
7 different comic books, I guess.
Okay.
But yeah. Anyhow. So now that we've kind of had that little comic discussion, we're actually going to have a bit of a movie discussion on a movie that was a humongous disappointment, especially to one of the people who's sitting here, to you, Will. This was a humongous disappointment, as I remember, because it was to me. Spider-Man 3, the movie. Yeah. I watched this one the other night, and I was still the same amount of disappointment I had for it now than I did when I first watched it.
I think it had better CGI than it did a story.
It did.
That was pretty good.
But I still can't get the thought of out of my head of Peter Parker twerking.
You know, I remember reading articles after watching Spider-Man 3 about... And I got a book for Christmas. I don't know if I was mentioning it to you. That was kind of... It was talking about how they were crafting the story for Spider-Man 3. And the first story they crafted and they pitched to Sony and Sony had approved of was one that involved, just Spider-Man dealing with, I guess, forgiveness. There was a theme of forgiveness that was kind of emanating throughout the whole story, and you kind of see it a bit in Spider-Man 3, but because there's just so much shit going on, like, you know, it's crazy. I mean,
Spider-Man 3 is the one where he goes emo, right?
Oh yeah.
See, that was really random.
And he has the dance number. Dude, that's still the like my number one most random moment in a movie ever, when he just starts randomly dancing and singing.
Why? Like, there was no point to do it. It's like, well, I got symbiote powers, I can dance. No big deal.
And I bullshit you not, Tobey Maguire like cries in that movie like 50 times.
He cries in at least every Spider-Man movie.
He does.
He's in. He cries or he screams. Oh, but like, okay, so what I was reading about was that like their original story, and it was like a 30-35 page script, could be wrong, might have been more, and it was about, you know, like just his relationship with MJ and Harry and patching that up, or just the challenges throughout there. So there was, obviously the new goblin thing was still there, which
they should have switched that to be the Hobgoblin. They shouldn't have made it try to be like his own Green Goblin.
And the other one, of course, Sandman. I liked Sandman. I think that there was much potential for Sandman,
yeah.
Especially with his family. I mean, I felt a connection to him because his family had, well, the wife had just, you know, ousted him. And yet the only connection that he had to that family was through his daughter, who he was trying to
save.
That you can feel a connection to him at that point. And that's, I love that. But that gets overshadowed like throughout the movie when he just becomes a ruthless asshole, and then he's just trying to kill Spider-Man, and then he just starts seeking revenge on Spider-Man. So because Venom then corrupts his mind,
yeah,
but he does it in like the worst way possible.
they also did no justice to Venom either. That is possibly, like, as I am now, because I'm a huge Venom fan. They did very little justice. They made him seem smaller. They made him seem weaker.
It's because of their casting choice. Because when I first heard that Topher Grace was cast as Eddie Brock and Venom, I laughed. I remember I was with Anthony and Carter. We were walking home from school, and we were laughing. We thought, you know, why is Eric Foreman from That 70s Show playing Venom? You know, and we thought back to the 90s comics. Venom was huge. He was a bulky guy.
He was humongous.
Yeah, he was literally a physical threat to Spider-Man. He seemed smaller than Spider-Man in this movie to me. I don't know about you.
He was way smaller than he should have been.
Yeah. Maybe it's because Topher Grace is younger than Tobey Maguire in age, but that's another thing. Like, he's just...
They should pick someone bigger. They should have picked, like... Like, at the end, when Peter puts all those pipes around Topher, or whatever his name is, and smacks the pole to the pole so it makes the sound, when Venom went all freaked out and huge, he should have been that big from the start.
Yeah, I guess so. I mean...
Because Venom is humongous. He's like you
like
said...
Like, gargantuan,
He's gargantuan. He's physically threatening, like you said. That's how he is in all the comic books. If they decided, oh, well, I want a sleeker, skinnier, smaller Venom who even Sandman could probably kick the shit out of.
The original concept they were going for was Sandman Vulture instead of Sandman Venom. I don't know where along the lines they decided.
I would have stuck with Vulture. Vulture.
I think it's because they didn't like Vulture. Like, they did when because they were trying to keep with the theme of forgiveness. Mm-hmm. And originally how they crafted Vulture was just... You know, he was just seeking revenge. There wasn't any empathy with the character itself. Mm-hmm. So they thought, let's swap him out with, you know, Eddie Brock, who in a way we could feel some empathy for because he's lost everything.
He lost everything
and
to
so,
Peter Parker.
Exactly. And, I mean, you know, I can understand that, but in a way it's like, it didn't work, obviously. I mean, maybe it worked on paper. It seemed to work on paper when I was, like, reading it. Okay, you've got everything you need. But, you know, just it was just way too cluttered. And there were storylines that were dropped or just they disappeared completely as the movie went on. The story with Flint Marko's daughter, just completely gone. Mm. He looks at a pendant once, like once, I think, and then he doesn't look at it again. It's like, well, what happened to his daughter? Is she dead? She looked like she was... Well, at one point she looked like she was pretty ill, and then she got up and she looked pretty fine. So it's like, okay, she needs to sleep with like a breathing aperture or something. Like, what's wrong with her? I want to know what's wrong with her. Does she have like a lung condition? Like, yeah,
kinda,
tell me something. Why is the wife so bitter towards them? Like,
kind of makes you wonder what could have they done had they not included a musical montage of Peter Parker trying to be some swagger.
They had actually there was a lot of work going into this because they started crafting the story of Spider-Man 3 as like maybe a week before the debut of Spider-Man 2, and then when they heard about Sony wanted to see a Venom thing, they didn't drop the story of Sandman and Vulture. They put it aside and they had a separate story going with Sandman and Venom, and they had the two, and they were trying to find ways to weave elements into this current story they had written first about Sandman and, mm-hmm. and Vulture, but it just wasn't working. So you know what they could have done? They could have dropped Venom. I mean, I know Venom is popular in the franchise, but you know, I think just I liked Sandman as a villain. He could have worked as a standalone villain, I guess, but he is a common criminal, right? And yeah. In a way, like Rhino is, he needs to be led.
So what you're saying, he's more of a super goon than a...
He's a super goon. Yeah, he's a goon. He's a goon with way too much power that he knows what to do with.
Yeah, he's definitely like that sort of thing. But, like, actually, now that I think about it, you never know. They might do a crossover with Rhino / Sandman teamwork.
I think, you know, I don't know. I don't care much for Rhino, honestly. Like... I like that they made a mech suit for him. I think that'll be fine, you know. But I mean, I'm still not gonna like the character itself. Just coming back to Sandman, not knowing much about it. I mean, okay. I actually want to ask you guys what you thought about how they changed the origin story for Uncle Ben's killer to be Flint Marko. Mm.
Oh, yeah, well, because in the comic book, it wasn't Flint Marko.
No, but in this case, they had to give Flint Marko's character some sort of connection to
Spider-Man.
To Spider-Man.
Spider-Man 3 was a terrible movie overall, in my opinion.
Right, no, I know, but...
When I watched it, and, like, my... Like, I guess at the time I knew about it...
I'm not saying it's, like, a 0% Rotten Tomatoes movie. There's different elements in the movie. Like, overall, as a movie, like... I like the action in the movie. I think there are segments of the story, and there's segments of characters that I think... were promising, but they just couldn't take all the way. Mm. What I'm asking is, you know, the question about the fact that Flint Marko is now the true killer of Uncle Ben. I mean, do you think that was good? Did you like that they tried to change it? No,
I don't think it would.
I don't. Yeah,
but it would give. I mean, in the case of the fact that the Venom suit is on, you know, Spider-Man. It now gives Peter a reason to seek revenge on Uncle Ben's killer yet again.
Yeah.
Right? That was...
It could change the story.
I feel like it changes the theme of the movie.
It doesn't really change the story, because I don't think it would matter regardless who killed Spider-Man's uncle. He'd still be pissed. He'd still be Spider-Man. But I do think, yeah, like you say, it does change the theme. Because, I mean, like, they kind of show in the movie that Flint has regret and has... grief over because he didn't actually mean the kill.
They just need to wait till the end of the movie where it's like, whoa, time out. Like, just like, I killed your uncle. I'm sorry. I didn't mean to. My daughter's dying.
No, he didn't mean to kill his uncle. This is basically what happened. He's just saying,
hear my side of the story.
He had the gun pointy at him. Suddenly, his partner comes from behind and pushes him or something like that, and he accidentally fires it. I guess that's what happened.
Yeah. They both seemed like fairly, you know, like they hadn't done any sort of big criminal activity like that before. So I could tell, you know, maybe Flint Marko had a shaky hand and was just, you know, he had never held a gun to an innocent person before. So, yeah, in a way, you know, once that trigger goes off and you now have a man's death on your conscience, that's going to be on you for the rest of your life.
And his nephew is Spider-Man.
And his nephew just happens to be...
Spoilers.
That's some sort of soap opera story right there. You're just weaving.
You killed his uncle, bro.
Yeah. I think, in a way, like, I thought it was an interesting way to tie those two characters together. Mm-hmm. But for a lot of fans, it would have pissed them off It was almost like when I found out, while watching the first Batman, that it was the Joker character that killed his parents. If you remember from the Michael Keaton Batman.
Yeah.
Yeah. It was like.
Oh yeah. What? Michael Keaton's Batman parents were killed by.
It's exactly the same thing. So in a way, yeah, like it changes the theme. The theme they were trying to go for was forgiveness.
Yeah.
You know, in the end, there was forgiveness from Peter with Harry. Harry and Peter forgive each other for all that. There's a bit of a small moment where it looks like Mary Jane forgives Peter for being a pompous asshole. Right, they do a dance together. I don't know. We don't know what their relationship is going to be like. So, of course, you know, they were setting up for a future movie,
which never happened.
And then Peter forgives Flint Marko at the end of Spider-Man 3. Mm-hmm. So those three elements, you know, you could have kept Sandman as maybe his own villain in itself. Vulture, the character of Vulture was pretty much this guy who.
Wanted to kill.
He was just greedy. He was a man of greed, and he used Sandman, much like Venom in this case. You had two characters that were, I mean, you would feel empathy for, but then one of them got greedy, and then you don't feel bad for the fact that he died. Because he got swallowed by greed, by the Venom symbiote, right?
I sometimes think that sometimes films do require those kinds of characters. The kind of ones that you know from the beginning, oh, that guy's a dick, I want to just see him dead. And then they kind of build up that kind of hatred you have towards that character. That's what I like about some movies sometimes. They have the characters where you hate them from the beginning, you hate them throughout the entire of the film, and then when you die, you just have that feeling of triumph that the person that you hated is now either dead or getting some form of justice.
It's like going to a stage performance when you have those characters where you cheer for them and the characters that you boo for.
Yeah.
You've got those characters that you love to hate. And, you know, but there are some films, and, you know, Spider-Man 3 had set it up in this way, and it failed, that you do feel empathy, and you do, well, you do feel, yeah, you feel empathy for the Flint Marko's character, and that potential was there. Yes, there were moments where he had to come out, and he had to be brutish, he had to be a bad guy to get the things he wanted, and much can be said about Otto Octavius in the second movie, too. Mm-hmm. You feel empathy for him because his wife just died, and his project got ruined. He's doing this because he wants to see his project succeed, and he's doing it for his wife, mm-hmm. as he said multitudes of times in the game. You know, my poor Rosie.
My poor Rosie. Yeah, killed her.
And you know, excuse me, I just burped. Doc Ock is always going to be my favorite villain, and Spider-Man 2 is my favorite movie of that series. That one was
the best. Well, hopefully in the future, Sony will try to make a remake the Sandman, at least the Sandman and the Vulture.
Vulture will be done.
I know, like, Vulture will be done. They've already kind of confirmed that in the Spider-Man 2 trailer. But hopefully maybe they'll try to redo a wrong. And
I want Venom.
Oh, they
will do Venom.
They literally cannot continue any Spider-Man
series. That he is going to have his own movie.
No way.
Yeah.
We talked about this on the last podcast.
I was listening.
Yeah, see, that's why you don't spend your time on your phone when you're during the podcast.
How about you shut up?
Okay. Well, the thing is that, yeah, I really do hope that Sony kind of tries to redo those wrongs that they made with the current Amazing Spider-Man series. Because I feel like they could redo those wrongs by remaking Sandman and doing it right.
The thing is, like, whenever there's a Spider-Man marathon, all three movies are playing, I'll still watch all three movies from start to finish. As much as I don't like Spider-Man 3 as opposed to the other two, I still think there's some merit to Spider-Man 3. It exists. We now know. We can learn from its mistakes. Mistakes have been made. And so we're just here. Now we're here in 2013, and we got a new Spider-Man series that we can enjoy. Mm-hmm. We can still enjoy the other three. And people are still going to bitch about the Venom saga that was introduced in that film for years to come. And especially once this new Venom saga comes out, and it turns out to be...
It's going
to
be amazing.
It'll probably be much better because they're setting up a Venom spinoff before bringing him into Spider-Man, which I think it's going to be fantastic.
Yeah. So, literally, that pretty much wraps up what we have for our discussion. Pretty much all our topics. It was a pretty good discussion today. A lot of things were talked about, especially with the Marvel universes. It seems to be the more popular, more
always Marvel
newsworthy.
One day in the future, we'll find topics that are less Marvel. I mean, we'll still have Marvel
topics. Yeah, we'll still have Marvel. We'll try to give in everybody. It's just that as of late, Marvel's been the one who's been kind of given the good news and whatnot. Like, I know as soon as Superman and Batman's all done and whatnot with, I'm pretty sure DC will start being like, well, hey, guys, now we got this done. Let's totally pull a Marvel and start doing other phases.
2015 is far from now, so
yeah, it is.
Within the year.
But we shall end this off with one last little topic. What are you guys reading? What are you guys doing? Anything with comics? Personally, as for myself, I just finished reading The Amazing Spider-Man Spider-Island Complete Volume, which was quite the read. How about you, Will? Are you reading anything?
Well, I mean, just that book I got for Christmas. It was The Chronicles of Spider-Man, but it was talking about the story of Spider-Man 3. I'm still really early on, maybe like in the first like 20 pages, so I was just reading the crafting the story, which was kind of the idea of why I wanted to discuss Spider-Man 3 with you guys. So I'm going to continue reading that and then try to dig up any of the other comic books I bought this summer from under my bed. That's probably where they're sitting right now. So that's probably what I've been doing.
Nice. How about you, Jared? What are you reading?
Surprisingly, I've been reading Attack on Titan back. Yesterday I was reading it. So probably I'll be getting back into reading Attack on Titan. Because
how far are you on that?
I'm still on the first few.
You're still on the first volume? Episodes, yeah. So you're not yet on the Battle
introductions.
Of Battle of Trost yet?
No.
No, you're not at the Battle of Trost yet? Well, of course, you're probably wondering why the hell you just mentioned manga. we're talking about everything comics, so we're talking about anime, comics, and manga, which is anime and manga are the two same things, but who cares? Anyhow, that wraps up today's episode of Comic Soup. I'd like to thank everyone who listened in, as well as everyone who came to take part in this episode. Jared Crispin.
Thank you for having me, sir.
And William Key.
Yellow.
This has been Comic Soup Episode 2, and thank you very much for listening.
Peace.
Peace.